Hello and welcome to the Jesus Tribe podcast. It's exciting to have you here. We're currently on a series titled Is Anyone Up There? Where we answer questions regarding the existence of God. Is there a God? Does he exist? If he does, how does this affect me as a human being? Join us on this amazing journey as we search and try to make a case for and against the existence of God.
Hi Tribe, welcome back to another episode of the Jesus Tribe podcast.
On our last episode, we started speaking about the concept of morality and consciousness, and it was a very passionate episode.
But before we go on, hey Daniel, welcome back.
Hi Faith, hi everyone, thanks for joining us on the second part of an interesting conversation, like Faith rightly said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we went on and on about how our society basically exists on the brain of nothing, because, you know, if people are all living for themselves and everyone is trying to define their own standard of morality, then where do we stand as a society in unity? And then, so after going on all of that, the question will come up, oh, why should I even care? Like, okay, you're telling me that I shouldn't live for myself, and then there's something outside of me to live for and all of these things, but I don't really care. So like, why is that even a problem? Why is it a thing to talk about, right?
Yeah. I really enjoyed a lot of the things we discussed in the last podcast, and kind of like where we left off, as Faith was rightly saying, the key takeaway basically is the idea that if we live in a naturalistic world, and once again, basically everything is a product of natural cause and effect, then morality really doesn't mean much ultimately in the long run. It might mean something now, it might mean something maybe a few generations down the line, but ultimately there is no intrinsic value in what we call goodness or evil or justice. All those concepts just become fancy ideas we throw around to help ourselves sleep at night. I think the major thing, right, to think about is that if there is supernatural or a metaphysical worldview that suggests that there is a creator God, then all these conversations become meaningless. And like Faith was saying, we might as well simply live for today, because life is ultimately meaningless, right? I think that's the scary reality that you might have to grapple with if you absolve the idea of a God from the meaning of human existence, the meaning of consciousness. It makes a lot of things become very pointless at the end of the day. Another thing we looked at was the idea of relative morality, which Faith really hammered home in the last episode, in the sense in which if everyone is responsible for their opinions of what is right and what is wrong, then also that also compromises, or it makes it it makes the idea of goodness, of justice, of honor, these things become relative as well. And so an honorable man to me might be someone who betrays his entire family, yeah, and sells them off for a fortune. And say, oh no, you should know that's not honorable. The question is, by what standard? Do you get? So one of the things we talked about in our article, or in the article rather, on Instagram was even people like Hitler, like Stalin, these were people who were acting on the account of their own relative morality.
Yeah.
In their opinions, they were trying to achieve some sort of unity or some sort of peace or some sort of ideal. Yes, that at its core, you might even say those ideals might have been good, but we look back in time and we say, no, the approach was evil.
Yeah.
And we're appealing to a standard that none of us defined, which just goes to buttress the fact that relative morality cannot be ideal morality, if that makes any sense.
Yes, Daniel, it does make a lot of sense. And I think another way to look at this is the fact that, so people may want to argue that, oh, there's no such thing as inherent morality, and then everything we know to be true as morality today is what we learned and what society taught us to be. And so you could argue that, oh, everyone just wants us to think a certain way. And not that anything is necessarily wrong with that, but here's why I made that point. So you just try and look at it from a standpoint. I'm born as a child. By the time I'm like one, with barely no, how do I put this? I don't have knowledge. I don't understand stuff. So you couldn't have taught me anything. But then if I tell a child not to do something, and or even if a child like takes candy now from my bag and he knows he's not supposed to take it, and he licks it and throws the wrapper somewhere that I can't find it. Why did he do that? If he was right, he could have as well, you know, walked in my face with the candy in his mouth if he thought he was doing the right thing. Yeah? But no, he would hide somewhere, finish up the candy, trash the paper or something behind my bed or something, just so that I don't find it, because he or she knows that what he had just done is wrong. Why does he know that? How does he know that? Who taught him?
Yeah.
You know. So
I think that's a beautiful analogy, and there's a lot we can learn just by looking around us. The same way you can learn a lot about love and trust just by seeing how babies relate with their mothers and things like that. It also applies even in this conversation, like you rightly said. Babies, as they start to grow, instinctively start to operate via some sort of moral code. And yeah, so a baby would probably do something wrong and tries to cover it up because there is that innate sense that I shouldn't have done this.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm afraid I would have to face the consequences of what I did.
Yeah.
And so you already see things like good and evil, right and wrong, justice, then an attempt to dodge justice, right? So you acted based on convenience, even though there was an imposing obligation on your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how if we just take our time to reflect on concepts like this, it's really on one hand it's beautiful. On another hand, you ask, what does it teach us? Because what that just points to is some sort of standard by which everyone feels obligated to act in a certain way.
Yeah.
Even when you meet people who necessarily don't think there is a God, or people of various faiths, you still find some sort of consensus that, oh, I'm trying to be a better person. Oh, I'm a good man, or I'm a good person. There's that innate consciousness that we ought to be good. We ought to be kind. We mm-hmm. ought to think about to think about what's best for others. But again, it goes back into that secular question. If there isn't a God, if we live in a naturalistic world, why should I ought to be anything? Even if I feel like I ought to be anything, why should I care? Why should I make an attempt to doing so? So this even goes beyond just, oh, what laws have been instituted by the constitution of the country you live in or stuff like that. This goes even a step further to the very core of what makes a person human. That is, yes, an innate knowledge or an innate awareness that there are certain things that are impressing on my heart, that sometimes mm-hmm. I can meet up to it, but oftentimes I choose the path of least resistance. And some may feel guilty, some may not, but there is always an ideal that as humans we tend to view as good or wrong. I hope that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. And I think now is also a good time to reiterate something that we said in the previous podcast, which was the issue of consequences, and how, you know, I know that we mentioned and gave scenarios of how when things start to hit home, you start getting concerned. But then again, on second thoughts, you know, the consequences of something shouldn't determine your morality or your moral stance towards that thing, right? So the fact that it concerns you or it doesn't concern you, it shouldn't be a determinant of whether or not you're concerned about the moral stance to take in that position. Do you get what I'm saying? So now, you know, we're having a conversation about how you should, you're obligated to do things outside of yourself. Then someone is like, oh, okay, why do you feel the need? Like, why do you, Daniel and Faith, posing a question to you? Why do you guys feel the need to tell me what to do? What gave you that right? What gave you? Do you get what I'm? Do you get what I'm? Where I'm coming from? It's really not your business, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah. That why should your views of morality apply to me?
Yes.
Or why should your standards or your obligation, your moral obligations, why should I be concerned with it at all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think you also gave a brilliant answer to that in the beginning, explaining that, see, if this moral or this morality thing that we're speaking about, if it was just for now, then there's really no point. Might as well just do what you want, right? But then it's beyond us. I think that's just the entire point of this whole thing. It's really beyond us. It's really beyond now. It's beyond you. It's beyond Daniel and Faith. It's beyond Jesus Tribe. It's beyond you, my dear listener, right?
Yeah, I think that's the point. And I think that's why we're on this journey, right? And that's why this is one of the strongest arguments for the existence of a divine being. The idea that morality would end up meaning nothing if there really isn't, if there isn't a God. And it's one of the things that I've learned to do when thinking, right, is think of the implications of your statements, or think of the implications of your worldview.
Yeah.
So if there isn't a God, what kind of world does that create? And if it's a world without absolute morality, a world where it's just a bunch of human beings trying to find certain rules that help them at that present time, then, like we've done so far, we're left with huge problems as a whole. And society has shown us what can happen in a world where people take morality into their own hands, and you see injustice, you see so much that goes on. And of course, there could always be the objection that, oh, but even a lot of people have done great injustice who did so in the name of God. Don't worry, if you fall into the category of such questions, we're here for you. There are a couple of episodes coming where we're going to address some of these things. That how about people who did all these things, who acted immoral in the name of the very God you are saying necessitates a moral worldview? And we're going to get into that. What we're trying to do in this episode and the last one was to present an idea that there cannot be absolute morality in a naturalistic worldview. So, if there is no absolute morality, meaning we're left with relative morality, it cannot sustain. Not only does it not sustain, it has no real meaning. That's what we're trying to get at in the episodes, or in this last episode and this one that we're currently recording as well. I just hope that picture is really clear to whoever is listening to this.
Yeah, it's really clear to me. And like you said, I hope it's clear to you as well. So I think to just wrap it up, it's a good time to kind of suggest the fact that if there's some sort of inherent moral law compass in every single person, someone or something must have designed it that way, you know, borrowing from the thought of intelligent design. So if someone has designed each and every one of us to have, if each and every one of us, you know, is designed to have this moral compass inside of us, then someone must have intended for it to be there in every single person, because there's no such telepathic communication amongst everybody in the world, right? So someone must have designed human beings to be that way, and even animals to an extent, right?
Mm.
Someone must have designed us to be that way, and it will just only suggest logically that if there is a moral law compass in each and every one of us, there is a moral law giver. There should be.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start to wrap up. And I heard this best from a late apologist, Dr. Ravi Zacharias. I respect him a whole lot. And the logic he follows is this: every law has a lawgiver. There exists a moral law, therefore there exists a moral lawgiver. And it goes back to what you were saying, Faith, the idea that if we can establish in some way that morality is inherent and universal, for instance, as seen in even just babies that are growing up and the way humanity and society functions today, then we can establish some form of consensus, an external consensus. I think that's the key word there, that whatever makes us feel accountable or to feel obligated to act in a certain way has to exist independent of us, right? Yes. And so it's the idea in which objective morality can only exist in a world where there is an external source of that morality. I'll take that again. I said the idea that objective morality can only exist in a worldview that accommodates for a source of that morality, which by our argument would claim to be God. So the idea that there cannot be objective morality without God, and because for the most part, morality as we know it seems to be objective and universal. So make sure you understand that doesn't mean everyone has the same morality. No. What that just means is that there is an innate sense of good and evil present in everyone. There are certain ideals that every human being has come to recognize as good, and certain ones that are not necessarily or are also recognized as evil. And the claim to evolution doesn't really hold, because some of these claims don't necessarily have any evolutionary advantage, right? So it can't be an evolutionary adaptation, as people might falsely claim. But the idea that because these things exist, there is an idea in which there is objective morality, therefore there is an external point of reference, aka God, who is responsible for this.
Yes, you said it, you put it so beautifully, Daniel, and I think it might take a moment for that last part to sink in, so you may want to go over it again.
Yeah.
But eventually it will make sense if you think about it logically, right? So if you have any further questions, right, because I know that we've examined about 5 different arguments so far.
Yeah, we've done first cause, intelligent design, now morality and consciousness. So I think we've done about 3 arguments, actually.
Yeah.
Unless
so
I'm
if
wrong.
You think,
yeah, 3 arguments.
3 arguments, yeah. So if you have any questions or anything that's bugging your mind concerning any of the things we've spoken about in our previous podcast, please feel very free to send an email, a detailed explanation of what's going on in your mind, what exactly the question is, and what you'd like answered. I know that our content team is more than happy to provide answers to your questions. If you don't want to go through the stress of sending an email, also feel free to drop it in the comments of this podcast or leave a DM on our Instagram page, and we're going to get to it as soon as we can. We promise. We actually read these comments. Thank you so much for making it this far. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Faith. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Yes. So till next time, guys. Stay safe.
Bye, guys. Have an amazing day, night. See you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Tribe podcast. We are an organization aimed at presenting the gospel of Christ in its simplicity to everyone everywhere. If this podcast has stirred up any questions, please feel free to mail us at tribejesus@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook @JesusTribe to stay up to date with our other activities and content. Till next time.